Time now to catch up with Jeff from Solowan. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter, and good morning to all our listeners.
Oh, that's nice and clear, mate. We got our link back.
Yes. Well, we had a friendly visit from Telstra. Actually, two of them, Peter, and they found a problem in one of their manholes up on the road there somewhere that the system had deteriorated. And, you know, as I said, the copper wiring here is 100 years old. It runs along the fence, the cattle fence, and just loose under the grid and down the valley, Peter. I mean, high tech.
you must have part of the cows that have been munching, mate, have probably got half your wire.
Twice the rabbits have chewed it to pieces underneath the cattle grid, Peter.
Ah, so that's what it was.
Yeah.
All right, well, Bucky, nick off, yeah.
Yeah, a little foggy here today, Peter. We're supposed to get rain tomorrow, and we actually do need it. We haven't had any rain here to speak of for quite a few weeks now. We're back to the point where, you know, we had those rains, heavy rains, for a period of time, which came at the wrong time, of course, for farmers. It came just in time to ruin most people's crops, so... But prior to that, of course, it was pretty severe drought everywhere. And now, of course, we've been dry again for the last period of time. At least we have here. I know there's been some areas got a bit of rain. So we'll be looking forward to that, Peter. I mean, not much to look forward to these days with all the problems still going on. You know, they listen to us, Peter, but they never do it properly.
It's unbelievable, isn't it?
And unfortunately, you know, we advocated the parks and the beaches. We gave strict guidelines about leaving the facilities open, exercise only. And of course, they opened it, and it was a mess, hysteria down there, because they opened three beaches out of, you know, 50. And what do they think is going to happen, you know? Absolutely. I've coined a new frame, the Society of the Enfeebled Thinkers, Peter. And unfortunately, we've got an awful lot of people belong to that society.
Yeah, it's sad, isn't it?
It is. And now they're regulating for exercise or for swimming, as we said before. But if they had opened it all together, people would have regulated themselves. But they didn't. So you know, they don't listen properly, Peter. And now, of course, we're going back to two people. Whew, social, you know, gatherings now. We can have two people. So,
well, that's better than no people.
Well, I think that probably means when you walk along the street, Peter, you can hold your girlfriend's hand.
I don't think that's permitted, because you've got to be, 1.25 meters apart. So if you've got an awfully long arm, I guess you'd be in it.
But how do you do social gatherings of two people if you can't get together? Yeah, I guess you can't go into a telephone booth to make a call together, Peter.
Not so squeezy, mate. Not so squeezy. Listen, how'd you go anyway with all the rain and the drama? Your crop survived?
No. Well, of course, the whole hunter got smoked out, Peter. And then I just want to make a quick comment again about this federal government and smoke and mirrors programs. Uh-huh. I was reading this morning, more than 50% of the people have given up on the job seeker thing. It's a ridiculous program. I mean, they're looking after, you know, employees, but nobody has them, Peter. And nobody applies because, you know, the conditions and the amount of money, and it's a joke. It's a headlines in the paper today, Peter. It's a smoke and mirrors program, just like the disaster grants for bushfires, Peter. They didn't help hardly anybody. There was a couple of headlines after you and I bashed everybody. And then there was another big article a couple of days ago. 20,000 people, Peter, are living in old caravans or tin sheds because they've received nothing from the government.
That's right.
And even if their house burnt down and their shed burnt down, they can say, oh, I just have machinery in the shed. Okay, it may be eligible for, if you ever get it, for help from the government, but you have to live in it because your house doesn't qualify. And so 20,000 people living on the property without help, Peter. And this job seekers program is a joke. You know, you're going to force a little coffee shop to hire somebody, you know, and they're closed. What are they going to do? Sweep the floor every morning? You know, it's ridiculous. I did want to say, but we're opening up, but Europe is. Nearly every country in Europe has started to open, and they have thousands of cases a day, Peter, except for Germany. France is opening schools, and they've still got 2,000 to 5,000 cases a day. Spain, Italy, everybody. I mean, you have to learn to live with it, Peter. And they're going to learn to live with a lot more cases than we have here. But, you know, I mean, I wish New Zealand well. Their prime minister was featured in world news yesterday. The day before, they had not a single case of coronavirus, and they were featured in CNN News, World News, everywhere about how New Zealand beat the coronavirus. Well, they had 3 cases today, Peter. I mean, it is not going to happen. And look, New Zealand might get it down, and I wish them well and that, but you cannot lock the country to the point. I give you the example, Peter. Airline companies. Do you think every time an airplane flies into New Zealand that the pilot and the stewardesses are going to be put in quarantine for 14 days?
Right,
exactly. So you cannot cut yourself off and think I'm insulated now because I've eradicated it, unless you shoot everybody that comes into the country and sink every ship that sails towards you. You know, it's like it's a fact of life. I was just looking the other day, Peter. Hepatitis A, there was an outbreak in Victoria, and it's a killer, hepatitis A, and some people died.
That's right.
68 cases, I think they had. Did they shut Victoria down?
No.
No, exactly. And the federal health minister was so happy. He said, we know yesterday when they had 11 cases, whatever the heck they had, he said, we only had one community case that we didn't know where it was from. And he was so proud of that fact. Well, look, man, if you know where all the cases are, the little outbreaks are, why do you have the country locked down? If you know where they are, you isolate. We've talked about it, Peter, 100,000 testing stations, okay? Virus detectives to seek out, find the infection and isolate, just like they've done in the hospital in Tasmania, like they're doing in the, you know, rest homes in Sydney. That's the future of how to control this thing. You're not going to stop it. There was some good news, though. The German Center for Disease Control published just in the last day or so that they have come up with a vaccine for MERS, which is a Middle Eastern respiratory system disease, commonly called camel flu. And it's a real killer, that one. It kills 35% of people that get it. It's one of the coronavirus, you know, type diseases, and they've come up with a vaccine for it. And the footnote was that portends very well for this coronavirus, for that particular research institute, Peter. So that is a good thing. It's a much more deadly respiratory system. But the reason why it didn't take over the world and kill 30% of the population is because everybody gets severe symptoms, Peter. And so you can identify them. That's the problem with coronavirus. Half the population has virtually no symptoms.
Well, I went to see my doctor yesterday, one of the regular things, and before I was allowed in to the surgery, my temperature was taken and I was asked various questions, appropriate questions, and once I answered those, I was then given some to wash my hands, you know, and then I was allowed in, and I thought that was very good.
Well, it's better than that. Our doctor's closed down. You do a video conference, Peter.
Wonderful.
You know, I don't look, Peter. We got, you know, we have no cases to speak of. None that we don't know where they are, but they're out there. You recall that story we had about the little Italian town that was declared virus-free. 3,500 people, I think they had, was declared virus-free. They decided to do an experiment and test everybody in that town, all 3,500 people. Guess what? They found 89 people had the coronavirus.
No.
They didn't even know it. No symptoms. And so that's the problem. You have a pocket of people, maybe, you know, they've all got the same DNA, the same genes. They're all resistant to this particular coronavirus. And they're just living together, a family or whatever. And then somebody unrelated gets it, and they get a severe case, and then suddenly you have another outbreak. So it's likely to happen like that, Peter, for an ongoing period of time, largely because it's such a mild type infection. It kills 4% of the people, Peter, but it's a very mild for, you know, 50% of the people. Another 25% get mild symptoms. And then the last 15% get ill, and approximately 4% die. And that's why the U.S., look, it's testing. If you look at the statistics, Peter, any country that's testing more than 50,000 per million population doesn't have a problem. They're on top of the curve by a mile, and they've got, you know, control of the virus. Any country that's testing less than 20 is generally in severe trouble, and that's the U.S. The U.S. used to be on the curve, Peter. Now it's a mile off the curve. According to their death figures, they've had like 2.5 million, or between 2 and 2.5 million cases of coronavirus, and they've only found 1,029,000. And that's because their testing rate is even worse than Australia's. It's 17,000 per million. Countries like Spain and Italy and that, now they're up in the close to the 30,000, and they're starting to decrease reasonably well because they're finding cases. But if you go down to countries that are really, really testing heavily, they have almost no cases because they find them all and they deal with them. You take, look, Luxembourg is a classical example, and I just can't find it here for the minute. They're testing like a rate is 3 times what Europe is. And I'm just going to search for it right here, Peter, and get it. Oops. Here we go.
We'll do a quick step, mate. Well,
yeah, well, it's about 2,000. Yeah, but about 2,000. Just searching. There it is. Okay, they've had 12 cases, but their testing rate is 3 times Australia's, over 60,000 per million. And it's twice of what the rest of Europe is. And Luxembourg's bordered by France and Germany and Belgium. Belgium's not too bad, but bordered by countries. Whoops, we got massive outbreaks of, you know, of the coronavirus, and Luxembourg is almost zero. And that's because their testing rate is 3 times, was more than twice what Europe is, and 3 times what most countries are. And they're down to almost zero cases. So it's testing, Peter, as we've said before. Testing, testing, testing. Find a case, search it out, you know. So there is a bit of a scary problem. I don't know if you saw the other day in the newspaper, Peter, some of these crazy scientists have been in bat caves in Burma, and they found 6 more coronavirus-type diseases that haven't got into the population yet, fortunately. But they found six new ones in a bat cave, and so that have never been identified before. So this is an ongoing thing, Peter. It's going to go on and on and on every 10, 20 years, whatever, unless we do something. And bats, you know, our federal government's got bats in their belfry, Peter. I mean, if you interfere with bat habitat, you know, the fines are like $50,000.
That's right.
You know, I mean, if they move into the park, they've destroyed the Singleton Park here because they roost there. You can't take your children into the park in Singleton. I mean, unless you want the next generation of coronavirus. And I know up the coast, up the north coast there, lots of camping grounds have had to be closed. Bats, they can't even take measures to move them out, to get rid of them. You know, I don't understand. They are the most disease-ridden thing flying around, and we can't even move them where they're endangering children. I mean, do you understand that?
No. There's absolutely no logic in making that decision. We have bats in the trees here. We don't have a belfry, but I can assure you they're there at night time.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's nuts. And you can't do anything about them, Peter, because some greenies that live in the city that don't have any bats think they should be protected. You know, so you can't even move them for your safety of your children and your animals. So anyway, Peter, I guess the one group of people are happy. The homeless are in four-star hotels now. So to see the article about that one guy's been on the street for 20 years and now he's a resident of a four-star hotel courtesy of the government.
Good move, Sherlock. Yeah, good move.
I did want to say something quickly about Singapore, because they've been bashing Singapore. Singapore has a foreign workers enclave, and that's where their outbreaks have occurred. You know, they were doing a pretty good job controlling it, but these people are living in very crowded conditions, and they got an outbreak in there, and they seem to have got on top of it again. But, you know, you see the headlines, and you think, oh, you know, gee, that process is not working. Singapore used to be a poster boy, but you got to look at the story behind it. Sweden's another case. Sweden has fought the coronavirus down to about a third the level. It's up today, but they fought it down. They've recommended social distancing. There are no laws. They haven't shot anything. And their death rate, Peter, is no higher than what the normal death rate for flu is. And so, you know, it's like, I don't advocate that we carry on normal with 1,000 or 2,000 cases a day, but surely, when we're down to 100, I mean, to 10 cases a day on average over the last week, we can let restaurants, coffee shops open at least half capacity, maintain a social distance. You know what I mean? It's insane, because it's going to go on and on and on, Peter. We've talked about that. You can't, because it hides with no symptoms, it's going to take a very long time. So we're going to get a few days of zero, around zero, and you'll say, oh, great, you know, and then in a month or 2 months or whatever, we're going to have a little outbreak here, a little outbreak there. Planes, I just read in the paper yesterday, 4 international planes came in to Perth yesterday. And, you know, you can't stop it. You're not putting the pilots and everybody else, dignitaries, into isolation. You're going to have a outbreak somewhere. But you know where it is, and you can identify the people, and you can isolate them, just like they do with a hepatitis A outbreak, Peter, or any other disease outbreak. You know, they find out, they isolate, they test the people, they shut the restaurant. It was a restaurant in Melbourne that actually was the hepatitis outbreak, you know, and hepatitis A, which is a killer, you know, and they isolate it, and then they test everybody, and they find the disease, and then they eradicate it. And that's the way we're going to have to deal with coronavirus. Having the entire country locked down for one unidentified case of a disease that only has a 4% chance of killing that particular patient is nuts. That's what I think, Peter. Mm-hmm. I think they've got to get a bit of a dose of reality. France, Spain, Italy, Germany, and nearly every other, even England is talking about, you know, they still got 4,000 a day. And they're way behind the curve, Peter. They have, according to their death rate, only found about 30% of the people in England that have had the coronavirus. So, but they're talking about Wales has said, you know, we're going to remove the lockdown. So at some stage, sanity has got to reign. So anyway, what can you do?
Not a whole lot, mate, under the current circumstances.
Yeah, well, the two people's, you know, that might be good for a day, but they need 10 minimum, 10 people. Open, you know, cellar doors here for it. We're not allowed to do a wine tasting, even out. As you know, we do most of ours outside here.
Yeah.
Not allowed to do it, Peter. Restaurant, you know, coffee shops. Coffee shops don't have outside, you know, takeaways. They can stand on the street outside their shop, I guess, and poke it out through the window if they have one. It just doesn't make sense. No, I don't think.
Something has to give, mate, because otherwise we're virtually in the soup now. And we're treading water, but that's about all.
Well, the government's going to run out of money. You know, and they're not giving it out anyway, Peter. Do you know anybody that's received? We got a bit of help from the provincial, the state government here, Services New South Wales. But the federal money is a smoke and mirrors. Look, there's been at least half a dozen articles in the last 2 months about people talking about what a joke the federal government's bushfire disaster program was. And look, any program they come out with for coronavirus, it's a joke too. The job seekers, it's headlines in the ABC News this morning, Peter. Have a look in there. Mm-hmm. Employees are not trying to use it. The only people who are trying to use it are big companies, you know, that have the wherewithal that aren't shut down. Amazing. You know, little companies that are shut down, they can't use it. So, and they're probably Coles and Woolworths are using it, Peter, to hire the extra 20,000 people to spend the government's money that's being dished out to, you know, on these programs. So, but anyway, what can we do? We just try and advise the government, do something reasonable, you know, and look at other countries. We're not the world leader. We like to think we are in Australia, but we're merely, as the Chinese minister said yesterday, we're gum on the boot. On Chinese boot, with gum on the Chinese boot. That's how he defined Australia yesterday. And you, what do you do with gum? He said you scrape it off with a stone. And that was his answer to Australia.
Oh, wonderful. Mate, just quickly, your website so people can still get organic wine and thoroughly enjoy it.
Yes, cellarwines.com.au, Peter. They can call us here at the vineyard. They can even come visit and pick up some wine. They just can't wine taste, Peter, but they can have a look around and see what a beautiful spot it is. And 6574-5275.
Amazing. All right, mate, lovely to hear from you.
Yes, Peter, and hopefully the government, trickle unlocking, which is now totally undefined, because according to our premier, she said anybody can open up a shop. So, and Mother's Day is coming up as well, as I'm just reminded, Peter. So people should call and get wine for Mother's Day.
I think that's lovely. Good morning, Bob, to you as well. All right, maybe we'll catch up with you later in the week.
Yeah, sounds good, Peter. Talk to you then.
Thanks very much. Now, that address, of course, is cellarwine.com.au. Place the order now. You will not be sorry.